Okay, everyone. Hello and welcome to Championship Drill, where we look back on the EFL Championship games over the weekend and a few other talking points and that. Joined as always with Jerry and with Phil. How are you guys? Good Halloween?
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Very good.
Yeah, so. Out egging houses, I suppose. Anyway, let's open with a couple of things that we talked about during the week. But one is Derby. They talked that the takeover could be done next week at Derby by Sheikh Khalid, who's the cousin of Man City's owner. He was part of the Saudi group as well that wanted to take over Liverpool and wanted to take over Newcastle. A multi billionaire.
150 billion, I think he's worth.
He wasn't allowed to take over Newcastle. Will he be allowed to take over Derby?
Yeah, that seems like the backdoor route.
I think so.
There must be something.
Yeah, it's a strange one though. What happens, like, when he goes in, he's probably going to fire the manager and bring Rafa Benitez or someone to Derby.
Rafa, I love Derby.
Yeah. It's, I suppose, exciting time if you're a Derby fan when you look at where Man City are, you know, and you've got to imagine that all that is going to happen for them as well.
Yeah.
Imagine Derby scraping the playoff and getting a top four finish in the Premier League next year.
That's it. Could happen.
And it's a strange time to take them over too, I suppose, because, you know, the transfer window isn't open. It won't be open until January. Derby are in the relegation zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is strange. Football is a strange and beautiful thing.
It is, yeah. It's a weird one, though.
I think £60 million is what's been quoted.
Yeah, pocket change for these guys. They like to boast about all the small clubs they own in England. Yeah. Man City being one of them small clubs.
Yeah. But I suppose it has to be good news for Derby County. And the fans have to be excited that someone's going to come in who potentially could turn them into a top Premier League side in 6 or 7 seasons.
That's it. Yeah.
Money talks, as you know, lads. It's the case of Derby get a playoff spot, they get promoted.
Watch the manager get suspicious. I know we were saying he's going to get sacked, but he'll get suspicious in fact.
Yeah.
He's bound to. And it'd be interesting to see who comes in. You know, whether Rooney will say, you know what, if they're going to back me with hundreds of millions of pounds, maybe I do fancy taking the job.
Geez, I wouldn't fancy Rooney in that transfer market at all, to be honest. He'd be trying to take Darren Fletcher out of retirement.
Yeah. So there we go. So we'll talk about Derby a bit more when we come to their game later anyway. We were talking midweek about there was an Irish player went over to QPR, so we'll talk about him and a couple of other Irish players that potentially could go and one that's already there.
Yeah.
So we saw that Sinclair Armstrong joined QPR during the week from Shamrock Rovers. He made his debut for Rovers as a 15-year-old in a cup game, I think, against Drogheda.
Yeah.
He's an Irish under-17 international. I think he played 6 or 7 times for Rovers' second team this season in the Irish First Division.
Yeah.
Really, really powerful striker.
Yeah.
Really highly rated by the Irish setup.
Yeah.
He's going to go to QPR's under-18 team, obviously, this season. But one for the future. And I think QPR can be very happy getting a player like that.
Oh, yeah. We were on the about it recently that they should take more chances.
Yeah. Bradley's a genius at Shamrock Rovers, lads. I think that's the second time they've bred an underage player. I think Bohemians are the two where they had a 15-year-old player senior game. And the fans were kind of saying, you know, maybe they're a bit young. Like, but the lad that went to Man City, the goalkeeper, he was with Shamrock Rovers as well, I think.
Yeah. He was about 16.
Yeah, he's another big lad now. Like, he's actually doing quite well. He went on loan to Rochdale, which is very good. Brian Barry Murphy's at Rochdale. He's already playing first-team football. He's only 16, 17. Like, but it's brilliant. I think if Cork City could do it, if there's young players out there, 15... you know, 15, 16 that are very good, I'd give them a game straight away because it brings up the value straight away. Like, you know what I mean? These guys will be bought for 100 grand.
Yeah, give them that confidence when they're young as well.
A lot of money, yeah.
Absolutely. And another Cork man who we've mentioned a few times on the podcast is Adam O'Reilly. He signed a new deal with Preston during the week.
Yeah.
He's 19 now. He's gone to Bamber Bridge on loan where he played at the weekend and scored a goal for Bamber Bridge. But they think a lot of him at Preston. I know he's had a few injuries and he's been not played a lot of football this year because of that. But it's good to see him getting a new contract and see them loaning him out to get some minutes under his belt. They obviously rate him pretty highly.
Oh, he's quality.
That's two new contracts he has, like, you know what I mean? His dad was a great player with Co-op Rambler's Caring. But like, Adam is he's a gem. You know, we'd be lucky enough to meet the lads down in Preston, Kemble, Cork, and he's definitely one for the future. Like, he's been always training with the first team. He's been on the bench a couple of times. He's actually made his championship debut last season, I think. So he's definitely one for the future, and he's definitely got all the attributes to be a serious player, I think.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can't get enough of midfielders who score goals. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a great future ahead of him. Then one we'll come on to as well is Jack Byrne, who we've also mentioned a few times. He came through the Man City Academy. He went out on loan to Holland, to Cambuur, played well there.
Yeah.
I think he did well in a couple of other loan spells when he was at Oldham, I think, and then Oldham signed him. Then he went to Kilmarnock, and then he came back to Rovers, where the last two seasons from midfield, he's been the best player in the league by a street mile.
Oh, yeah.
Rovers to win the league this season. Currently, he's down with coronavirus, and I know the Rovers have been talking about him as it's hit him pretty hard, the virus, and he is struggling to breathe and everything. But his contract is up after this League of Ireland season's over. And yeah, the talk is that he has offers from two championship clubs, a big offer apparently from Shamrock Rovers, who are desperate to keep him, yeah, and also offers to go to the MLS. But he's 24 now. Like, I mean, he's a great age for a championship club to be
perfect
taking someone like him on. He's played twice for Ireland as well, and since he came back to Rovers, which doesn't happen often for League of Ireland players, so that should be an idea of his quality.
It's an interesting one, Steve, isn't it? I think if I was him, I'd probably go to Colorado Rapids. They're the team I want him in the States.
Yeah,
he's been at Oldham. I know he was at Blackburn Rovers. He played four or five games on loan at Blackburn. Started at Man City, but I think the MLS lads is the market. I think that's where he belongs. I think he's 24. He's obviously played with Oldham in League One. You know, he's played in the Championship with Wigan and Blackburn. I'd go to MLS, no problem. I think that would be, like, I always have to think about the States. It's a savage league. Steve, you know about the league quite well from your time in the States, but I think Jack should make the move to, you should be one of the first Irish players to try and kind of break that kind of, that American market, like, you know what I mean? It's appealing, and I know Kevin Doyle was at Colorado Rapids, but yeah, I think it's a great move for him if he goes out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it could be, and I mean, I love the American League. I have great fondness for the MLS, but at the same time, if I'm a championship club and you see you can get this guy for free, I would definitely be, like, you know, driving up to his house nearly.
Yeah.
And, you know, just trying to take him, because he offers so much to a team, and there's so many championship sides could use a midfielder like that. They might be avoiding him a little bit because, you know, he did okay when he was in the championship, but at that time he was very, very young. Talking about him being like 20 years old. You know, he's 24 now after a few seasons of Rovers. He's, you know, I don't know. Like you said, maybe the MLS will be a big draw for him. But at the same time, I think footballers always dream of going to England and, you know, playing the Premier League, playing for their favourite teams. And he might see that as a better way of getting.
Yeah, well, he's options there. The options there.
Probably feels he has unfinished business in England as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Bournemouth are a huge club, like, you know what I mean? If he's looking at that, like, and they're really interested in, they're promising him first-team football, they're on the brink of getting back to the Premier League, perhaps, you know what I mean? So that's his loophole to play in the Premier League. I suppose we all do dream about playing in the Premier League, but it's just that American market. Like, I know from studies and research, like, a lot of the lads that make that move to America, like, even, you know, UK footballers, they all do quite well and they make a great living.
Yeah.
So it's whatever the hunger is, you know?
It is. And I suppose if he does go back to England, he's going to want game time. There's no point in him at 24 going to sit on the bench and play a handful of games a season.
Yeah.
If that's going to be the case, and if that's going to be the case going to America, he might as well stay where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So,
we'll move on, I suppose, to the reason we're here, talk about the games over the weekend.
Yeah.
Friday night, Phil called this one. The win, anyway.
Yeah.
Coventry 3, Reading 2.
I had that feeling, all right, when it before started, just like it's going to come to an end.
Yeah. Hammer, Godden, McCallum for Coventry, Joe and Puskas for Reading. First time Reading have lost. Coventry move out the relegation places. Reading still stay top.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is it with Coventry and Friday night football? We talked about it in the middle that we were looking forward to it.
Yeah, and the thing is, it easily could have been 5-5.
Yeah, it's who you want to see every Friday when you're looking at the game coming up on the Friday night.
Yeah.
To kick off the weekend's action, you're like, are Coventry playing? Because you know it's going to be a good game when they are.
highlights were brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The third goal for Coventry should have been saved. Was shocking keeping. Like
bad goalkeeper. It really, really was. And like you said, Reading had some great chances. And were we talking during the week, was it 8 goals from 11 shots on target or something Reading had coming into this one?
Yeah.
And they had 7 shots on target in this game and only managed the 2 goals. Whereas Coventry, like you said, did a bit of a Reading to Reading. With 4 shots on target, they got 3 goals. Mm. Even though, like you said, the third goal was hit pretty much straight at the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Massive win. I think that's the start of it now for Coventry. I think they're going to get a lot more results. They could have teamed out that win maybe 2 and 4 games kind of way, like, so they'll avoid relegation. But we're on about them all season, lads, so fair. Like Coventry, they appeal. They always go for it. The gas is in the tank, and you know what I mean? It just goes to show their luck came. And it's time they won, you know what I mean? And I know we're going to come to Wickham as well, but it's been a great weekend for
Joe missed a great chance.
Yeah.
He did. He missed one early on, didn't he, when it was scoreless?
Yeah.
And the keeper, like, he kind of fluffed it completely.
Yeah.
And he's been in good form, and he obviously scored a goal later on.
Yeah.
For them as well. But, yeah, I mean, that could have turned the game, that one.
Yeah.
If Reading take the lead, it's a different game then altogether.
Yeah.
So it keeps coming up. You've got to take your chances when you get them. Reading have been very good at that all season. And Friday night, they took 2 of the 7 good chances they had. But they weren't as clinical as usual, and it cost them. It'll be interesting. Won't it, to see how Reading, we always say, like, they had the big game against Watford, they had the big game against Blackburn away.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the first time they've been beaten all season. It'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from this one.
Yeah. There's quality in that side, you know what I mean? So I won't be fair for the Reading, like, I still maintain they look complete package. Yeah. They will get a top 2 finish, you know what I mean? But I think Coventry were well overdue a win, lads, and sometimes they play with less fair against the teams that are doing so good, you know?
Yeah.
They do. And if you ever look at the games, Reading are home to Preston, who we come to later on, can't win at home, but are great away from home. So it will be a tricky one for Reading.
Yeah.
In that sense. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
They're there for an accumulator, Preston, when they were away from home. You could always put them in that accumulator and they'll win away.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So we're going to come to the Bristol City Norwich game.
Yeah.
3-1 to Norwich in this one. Pookie looked like he was in great form. That first goal he got was you know, great touch, great finish, and that seemed to set him off, and he had a great game.
Yeah.
He got 2 goals. Bonede got the goal before half time to kind of kill the game off in some ways.
Yeah.
Jack Hunt for Bristol. Bristol missed a penalty as well in the second half, with one of the worst penalties you're ever going to see ever.
Yeah, the manager said that he's going to have to look at who's going to take penalties from now on.
He tried to dink down the middle
and put it over the bar.
It's the most unprofessional penalty I've ever seen.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy the way it happened. Now, Bristol, I was saying it, like we were talking during the game when we were watching it, and they look so open at the back from a long ball. And it caught them twice. 2 of the goals came from that. I don't know what they were playing at the back line.
Yeah.
But they just could not seem to defend the long ball forward.
No. Good to see Pookie get through, to be honest. It was good to see him back.
Yeah.
I mean, they had their chances, Bristol. There was an amazing save. I know, was it a cross or a free kick that came in? And I still don't know how Tim Krull got his hand to it to keep it out.
A double save.
Yeah, I mean, the second one would have been offside, I think, but he did get up anyway and made the save, but it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then...
We've mentioned Tim Krull before about how underrated he is.
Unbelievable. And when I was watching it live, Chris Martin, like we said here, not the Coldplay Chris Martin, but the other Chris Martin.
Hit the post.
Hit the post. And I was like, what an effort. But I was watching the highlights again this morning, and it looks like Tim Krull got fingertips.
Yeah, he did, definitely. 100%.
Fingertips. Yeah, because that came back off the inside of the post. I mean, that was in if he didn't touch it.
Yeah.
Krull's good enough to be at a team like United, lads. No, just like Henderson and even Liverpool. Krull is, he's a serious goalkeeper. I don't know how a big team's all picked up on him.
Yeah.
I mean, Norwich were very impressive as well going forward. I mean, they really were. At 3-1, the second half, Bristol were kind of going for it a bit, so I suppose Norwich had a 2-goal lead. They were always going to sit back a bit and try and hit him on the break. Norwich weren't that impressive in the second half, really. Oh. But from an Irish point of view, Callum O'Dowd was really, really good yesterday for Bristol.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
He won so many free kicks.
Yeah.
And I liked he was kind of out on the right a lot, but when he picked the ball up in the middle of the park, he looked so dangerous.
Yeah.
And he's just the way he has this ability to just go past players that there's not many can do. I can remember like watching like Johan Cruyff take people on, and it's the same kind of way O'Dowd runs with the ball, reminds me a bit of that, in that he doesn't beat the players, he almost lets the players beat themselves.
Yeah.
It's I don't know how to describe it as such. It's just he seems to do nothing, but he's beyond the player. So, and to have him back and to have him playing like that is great for Bristol City, because they are in a bit of a dip of form now at the moment.
Dear.
You know, they're down to 10th now.
Yeah.
You know, Norwich up into 4th. But yeah. So.
Like they had such a good start. You know what I mean? No, I think they're kind of a little bad run. But look, we know the way the championship goes.
And they have a tough game midweek as well, Bristol City. Yeah. They're away to Huddersfield midweek, so that's going to be a tricky one for them as well. Yeah. But we'll see how they go. We'll see how they go. They won't want to be dropping too many more points anyway, that's for sure. Because it's getting very tight
in
the championship, as it always does, I suppose.
Yeah.
Move on to another kind of a shock result in some ways. Barnsley 1-0 win over Watford. 2-2 for the new manager.
Yeah, and it was some goal as well.
Yeah, it was a great goal. Second one a week for him, and they have to give him a new contract now, surely, or at least offer him something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd like to think so.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to say about this game. Watford, I don't think, had a shot on target.
Yeah, they weren't.
Andre Gray came back, which is good news for them. He didn't come on until the 76th minute, but it's good for Watford to have him back, I suppose. Watford are in 6th, Barnsley move up into 15th.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It was just Barnsley are just stubborn.
That's what it was. I mean, Watford will be disappointed that they didn't get more shots on target, or, well, any shots on target, really.
Yeah. What's the update, Troy Deeney, lads? Are the update?
Not really. No. He's just been left out, I think, at the minute. I know he'd had knee surgery last year, obviously, and missed a lot of the year. So I don't know what's going on with him. If, you know, his head is not right, or how it's going in training. Maybe he's just come back from the injury he had earlier this season still.
Yeah.
But the way he's talking, and he does talk a lot, like he's determined to get Watford back into the Premier League. He loves being there. There was an article I was reading about him actually during the week where I think his next appearance for Watford will be his 400th appearance for Watford.
Okay.
And he's 24 goals short of Luther Blissett's record for Watford. So he also talked about he had a chance to leave Watford this summer, he was saying, but he chose to stay there. Because he said, look, he didn't want to be a player that just bounces around from club to club now. He wants to go down as a legend at Watford, which I think we talked about the time when he might leave. So I think he's determined to stay there. And I think he really, really wants to become their all-time leading goal scorer.
Yeah.
I think he's there 10 years or something, is he? 2010, I recall.
Yeah.
I mean, 400 appearances for any club is massive commitment to a club these days anyway. So he's on 399, so... Will he make it this calendar year? We don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I suppose. And Bournemouth, Derby, 1-1.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah. Rooney was bad.
Again, though, they scored from... We can say they scored from a free because Rooney's free kind of bounced around the place.
It kind of more than bounced around the place. They hit about 12 players. It touched nearly everybody on the pitch, I think, before it went to Shinny to knock it in. It wasn't one from the training ground. I think we can... agree on that anyway.
Yeah.
I suppose we talked about that midweek, didn't we? Whether it be Waghorn or Rooney to take first.
Yeah.
And it was Rooney who took it, and it wasn't a great free kick, but it did lead to the goal. So
I don't know what's going on with Derby, lads. It's mental. It's bizarre. It's for a team of their stature, like, you know what I mean. It's there's something serious, Siobhan. I know we keep talking about the manager and change and stuff like, but it's Derby. They're a massive club, club.
Massive.
A club that many people would have said, you know, from the start they'd be thereabouts, but they need to get it right soon.
But the thing is, like, they're getting this new ownership now. They'll be players moved around and new players.
Yeah. And you would have thought with talking to new ownership, the players would have been more up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing that the new owners are probably going to be keeping an eye on the game.
Yeah, but they were unlucky, though. They actually
were unlucky. I think again, it's one of these which we see a lot more in the Championship with the game of two halves, where Derby really should have been out of sight at half time.
Yeah.
And they weren't. And Bournemouth came back into it in the second half. I know Solanke had a great chance that was well saved. And Raquel May, his third sub appearance, he's a young 20-year-old on loan from Atletico Madrid.
It's a nice
finish for his goal. It's the equaliser for Bournemouth as well.
Like, he could have thrown that over the bar, like the young fellas usually.
I mean, it was very calm. Yeah. And Bournemouth getting a lot of goals in the last 10 minutes this season.
Yeah.
And that was another one. But yeah, Derby, it's I don't know, it's a funny one for them to see where they're going to be. They're up against QPR midweek. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Most definitely. It's again, Derby should not be where they are, like, no way.
No, but Bournemouth, on the other hand, they're flying it. Watford are flying it. And Norwich are flying it. The three teams that came down are all really pushing to go straight back up, which doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
Usually you've won maybe two, and then you get another team who barely avoid relegation, usually.
Yeah.
But all three teams this year seem like they could really be battling each other.
That's it. They're doing well.
So we move on then to Luton and Brentford.
I'm very surprised that Brentford won so easily.
Yeah.
It was a very easy win for them. Henry, Tony again, and Force for Brentford.
Like, he totally was going for goal with that Tony pass.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Brentford move up into ninth, a point off the playoffs now, and Luton drop below them as well after this one. Totally dominated the game, Brentford, from start to finish again.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose Luton manager just put it down to they didn't have a good day, and I suppose Brentford are such a good team. If they're on form, they're going to be trouble for anybody.
And the thing is, there's so many games now with all these midweek games, it's hard to kind of keep motivated.
It is. And you think that plays into it for a team, say, like your Rotherhams, like your Lutons, who don't have a huge squad?
Yeah.
You know, where they've now had to play, you know, so many games, like they're playing three games a week.
Yeah.
And they don't have the luxury of resting as many players.
No.
But if they are bringing in players, they tend not to be of the same quality if they have to make three or four changes. So it probably does play a factor in it, all right, I would imagine.
There are plenty of money, lads. I always say it. There should be no excuses. Like, bring it to the Premier League as well when they play two, three games a week.
Yeah. But they're, I don't know what it was. Luton just didn't seem up for the game or something. I don't know what it was. It was very unlike them this season anyway.
Yeah, it was like a training game at times.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't much fun to watch.
No.
Really wasn't.
No.
So what about Tony, though? I mean, we talked about him early on when he didn't score in four games. And now he's got nine in the last seven.
Yeah, he's really come on. Really,
I think there's only one of those games he didn't score in.
I know the goal wasn't like classic or anything, but they all count.
They all count, and that's what he does. I mean, he'll get the ones from 3 or 4 yards.
Yeah.
But his overall play has been very good for them.
Yeah, and his link-up play, he's been superb to watch.
And again, what a bargain pickup he was.
Yeah, especially with how much they got for Ali Watkins. They did not even a third of the money, I don't think.
It's crazy. It's crazy. He has 9 goals now. You know, can he hit 25, 30 goals in the league this season?
I think he surely will.
Yeah.
Surely.
Right, we'll move on now to Middlesbrough, who are again slowly, we were saying it, climbing up that table.
Yeah, Neil Warnock knows what he's doing.
1-0.
Well, Neil Warnock, clearly, like, he knows the league.
He knows the division so well, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if they came up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Johnson, 9 minutes from time with the winner, Saville, who's been playing really well for them with the assist on that one.
Yeah.
And Cafu almost got an equaliser for Forrest.
Yeah.
In injury time.
I think Chris Newton realises now how hard a job he's got.
Yeah.
He really is.
Newton's first loss. You know, a good one for Burra.
We're saying
Nobby Stoyles passed away the day before. They had a massive round of applause for him.
Yeah.
And before the game, he played for a couple of seasons at Burra after he left United and before he went to Preston.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot to say, really.
Yeah.
You know, it was solid at the back.
No, McNair was brilliant as for Burrow. Great defender.
There was a very, very bad miss by Burrow early on. I'm very bad at pronouncing names.
Asambalananga,
is it?
Yeah. Like, he was one-on-one with the keeper, and he just kind of hit it at him.
Yeah. Asambalanga, isn't it?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Like, he should have scored that.
A former Forest player as well, wasn't he? He's closing in on Burrow's goal-scoring record, isn't he?
He did it already.
Yeah.
That won't be hard, Steve. That won't be hard. A record like that.
But you were saying there, Jerry, about Paddy McNair. But in general, Burrow's defending has been so good this season.
Yeah, they're brilliant. I think they have a lad called Nathan Wood as well. I recall talking about him back in, I think it was one of the last episodes. Yeah. But like, they're just a good enclosed defence, you know what I mean? I think, you know what I mean? We always mentioned if Burrow had a striker, how good they'd be.
Yeah, That's it.
I mean, have they conceded 2 goals yet this season in the league?
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
You know, so they're looking good. They're up into fifth now.
Yeah.
You know, and no one's really talking about him that much. But like you said, Warnock knows the division. He's doing well. This one was, again, not really a massive shock, but I mean, Millwall were flying it again. You know, they were 4 games undefeated. They lost at home 3-0. Huddersfield, Corona with the goal, but then you have to say 2 very, very late goals.
Yeah, and you one know. Of them wasn't the
one
goal.
Of them
I don't
that think. Didn't look like a goal. It looked like a goal at all. In front of the goal line.
That was definitely not a goal.
We talk about no VAR in the Championship. They also have no goal line technology.
Yeah.
But that clearly didn't go over the line, that second goal.
Yeah.
But even then, the game
was very lackluster. There was nothing really going on in it.
No. I mean, it was, you know, Millwall looked very dangerous until Huddersfield scored.
Yeah.
And then Huddersfield just sat back into their shape like they can do. Yeah. They're so well drilled. They just frustrated Millwall, who couldn't really do anything.
Yeah.
And Huddersfield just caught them on the break with 2 late goals.
Yeah.
Good win for Huddersfield, though.
Yeah, Huddersfield are really snaking it up. Like,
They're up into 12th now. Millwall dropped out of the playoffs into 7th, behind Watford in goal difference, I think.
Yeah.
So a bad day just for Millwall. I mean, 3-0. It certainly wasn't a 3-0 game.
No.
But they look to bounce back now. We have a look. Who do Millwall have? Millwall away to Norwich midweek.
Yeah.
Tricky one for them to be going to. Whereas I think we were talking about Huddersfield earlier. They're home to Bristol City, so it's going to be interesting. Huddersfield, though, they just look a different team suddenly.
They do. Since the international break, they've become what Bristol City were doing.
Absolutely. So if we move on to Preston, Birmingham, McGree, who we talked about, I think, coming over the Australian to Birmingham, and what a good player he could be.
Yeah.
A goal on his full debut for them.
Yeah.
Late Gardner goal as well for Birmingham. Stockley with a great strike for the Preston goal.
Just Stockley's goal, right? I think that's a foul in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I think they give that as a foul in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Why 100%? You're right. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. But it was some finish.
Oh, it was unreal.
The probably the best goal he's ever scored, I think.
Yeah, but like if that's the Premier League, though, they'd be like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would be given as a foul. But, you know, no one seemed to complain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In some ways, they just got on with it. That's the first goal Preston have scored at home in 5 games. And the last time they scored was August 29th. They've lost all 5 home league games. They lost their last one last season. So they are 6 home league games without a win. Well, not without a win, 6 defeats in a row.
Although Backhausen almost levels.
Yeah, Etheridge with a great save at the end to keep him out. But, like, I don't know. I mean, a good win for Birmingham. It's their first away win of the season. They move up to 11th. Yeah. Preston dropped to 16th. 2 wins on the bounce now for Birmingham. They're in good form again.
Yeah. Preston, they need a serious change, lads. Maguire needs to hit the Celtic. I think, Alan Brown should have took that move to the Premier League last year. But, like, it's... like, Birmingham are a great side. They're on the up. But Preston are a team that have been so frequent in that Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, too many away losses. Like, you know what I mean? They're never consistent. There's never a balance there. They were brilliant last season, but they fell apart towards the end of the season. Maguire needs to head to Celtic or go somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculously puzzling. Like Birmingham, like you said, that was their second win in a row. It was their first away win of the season. But Preston have played 5 home games this season in the league. They've lost them all. They've played 4 away games. They've taken 10 points from 12 available.
They've only won a goal at home.
You know, and there's no fans in the ground, so you can't say, oh, the fans are getting on the players' backs when things aren't going right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Other than working really, really hard in the training ground, it's becoming a mental block for them almost.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't think they know what they need to do.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they just need some fluky bounce of a ball to go in from in the last minute to get a 1-0 win or something in their next home game. But I don't know. What can they do to change the home form? Because their away form is so good.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen soon, lads, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There's no way it's going to continue. I'd say the 4 weeks from now, lads, we're talking about a different president.
Isn't there an international break coming up as well?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It could be.
Another something's going to happen.
Oh, that's all we need, another international break. But yeah, if you were the Preston manager for their next home game, they're away midweek, but their next game at home, would you do kind of what teams tend to do after they get a hammering? And just play for a 0-0 draw almost?
I'd change the whole team around.
At least if you could get a point at home, you haven't lost at least, because they've like 5 defeats in a row, they lose at home again.
Yeah.
Like we said last week, if the fans were in the stadium, they'd be in real trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I'd start Scott and Clare. I'd bring in Sean and Maguire.
Yeah.
I'd keep Alan Brown playing because Brownie's obviously doing well. I'd keep Jade and Stockley up front. I'd play Maguire just behind him. Yeah. I'd have Sinclair maybe, I suppose, where Josh Harrop plays.
Yeah.
Put Josh kind of over to the wing. So it's like Preston are a big team that day. Something's going to happen in the next 4 weeks. Either the manager's going to be sacked or we're going to see something. In the case that they're going to go 3-4 losses in a row, you know, it's not good enough.
Absolutely. We'll move through some of the remaining games there. So QPR Cardiff, great game, 3-2, cheering Kane, stoppage and winner from Ball. Great goal, 2 goals from Rawls, 1 from the spot and 1 from a rebound from the spot.
Yeah.
And QPR pretty much dominated the game.
Yeah.
Joe Reyes was good.
But when it's 2-2 with 5 minutes to go. What a strike, though, to win it from Ball.
Ah, oh, it's my favourite goal of the weekend.
Unbelievable shot. And, I mean, he was brought on to make them more solid because the manager thought they were in danger. Warburton thought they could lose the game.
That's it.
Harder for coming into it. Ball's brought on to Whitney. Hits an unbelievable strike. I mean, whatever about he'll never score another one of those in his career. He might never score another goal in his career.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, it was unbelievable. The thing is, the QPR probably edged it, to be fair.
Yeah,
I mean, they did it. I mean, but there's always that danger where you're just not getting that third goal when it's like 2-1 and 2 stupid penalties to give away.
Especially
the second one. What was he doing?
I have no idea. It was a dumb move.
I think it's, what is it? Is it 5 penalties in 3 games or something they're after giving away? Or 5 penalties in 4 games or something?
Crazy. And I think Cardiff are just so unpredictable as well.
They're so up and down this season.
Yeah.
And Boz, I'm not absolutely buzzing for Todd Kane, because Todd Kane was one of them Chelsea players that was at the club for about 7 to 8 years. Went alone to probably clubs in Holland and stuff, but it was great to see Todd Kane do well now for QPR. He's
absolutely
really shining.
So it was, I mean, they're pretty much, QPR moved to 18th place below Cardiff, who were 17th.
Yeah.
But I mean, what a strike that was. I don't know. Like, Cardiff just up and down. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, they need to sort out their form quickly. Then we move on to a game that I think we all called pretty much as happened.
Yeah.
Which was Stoke 1, Rotherham 0.
Yeah.
And McLean with the goal for Stoke. Looked like it was the keeper assisted it, but it wasn't. Fletcher got a little touch.
He got a little touch, he just kind of
But absolutely anti-footballing conditions yesterday.
Yeah, it was Stoke, great.
With the wind was just ridiculous.
Great to watch.
Great finish from McLean.
Yeah.
Gets goal. He's been in good form for them recently. Stoke, those 6 injuries, had to make 6 changes from midweek.
Yeah.
But they've played very well. Rotherham dropped to 19th. It's their 4th defeat of the season. Stoke move up to 8th, and they're only a point now off the playoffs.
Yeah.
Slowly climbing up the table, Stoke.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of these 1-0s, definitely, this season.
Yeah. They're almost a bit like Borough were last season, where they're... You know, Borough just couldn't score the goals. Like, Stoke had a few big wins recently, but
Yeah, that's, you know, back, like, it, it was not good to watch. It was horrible. It was
awful. But you can't play football in that wind. It's impossible. You know, Swansea 2, Blackburn 0.
I actually thought Blackburn would at least score.
Yeah. I mean, they dropped to 14th. You know, like we said, it wasn't quite a snatch and grab. Armstrong, Holtby had good chances for Blackburn.
Yeah.
Blackburn were probably the best team in the first half, but they found themselves a goal down from a header that should have been defended way better.
Yeah.
And they'll be disappointed with both goals they conceded, especially their manager, Tony Mowbray, who's just prides himself on not giving away silly separate goals. He's going to be the fuming at that. But Rovers, who were flying it a few weeks back, about 14th, Swansea go up into second in the table now after Bournemouth's draw. Yeah, you have to take your chances. Bournemouth, Blackburn had been, but they didn't yesterday.
Yeah.
So, like, Swansea, though,
they
scraped into the playoffs last season on the last day.
Yeah.
Can they go up? Are they one of the favourites to go up with the team?
I think playoff area. I can't see them any more than that.
They're very strong. Yeah. Very strong. Yeah,
they're very strong. And
in Jordan Ayew, they've won the Stars of the League.
Oh, yeah. The rumour was that he wanted 90k a week off a Premier League club.
Well, well, there you go. I mean, you keep playing like you have been for Swansea, someone might give it to him.
Yeah.
So we move on to the biggest game of the weekend, I suppose.
Come on, Wiggins.
First half stoppage time goal from Wheeler. Daryl Horgan, I suppose, played really well again. And he thought he'd scored. What a save from the keeper.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And he probably thought, well, that's half time now, but no, the corner was allowed to be taken.
And the manager's away as well. He's in hospital.
Manager's in hospital after having back surgery.
Yeah. There was a really cool picture online on social media with him.
There is. Wickham put up on their Twitter of him bandaged up and in his hospital, you know, big smile on his face.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. I'd say there's going to be a lot of banter around the training ground when he comes back to say, look, we got our first win without you.
Yeah.
I'd say they'll all be giving it to him. But I suppose Wednesday, on the other hand,
I actually think, I think that performance by Wednesday amongst in serious trouble.
Unbelievable, because if you think about it, like, Wickham are one place above Sheffield Wednesday, but they're 8 points above Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday started the season 12 points from safety. They're now 10 points from safety after 9 games.
Yeah.
Like, they were looking like they had a chance, and then they've lost 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Is Monk the next to go?
I think he could go, yeah, easily. They were so poor.
And what about Wickham? 4 points in a week. Can they go on a bit of a run now? Swing their way out of there?
Let's hope so.
Playoffs.
Yeah. The big man again, did very well in the link-up play.
He played very well.
He's just, the teams can't play against him. And for a guy that's 38, unbelievable.
Yeah. Should look at the difference that since he's came back.
Yeah.
He has made a massive difference.
All right, so that's the weekend's action anyway. So what about the goal of the weekend?
QPR.
Ball.
Yeah, it has to be. Special mention to Marat at Barnsley.
Yeah, good strike as well.
Yeah.
But it has to be Ball. Like we said, he might never score another goal, let alone one like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't get goals. Like, what about your player of the week?
That's a tough one.
There's a few good performances in there.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Fonzie. Joe Reyes, even though he was on the... even though they lost 2, I think he was very good. Missed the penalty, followed it up. He was very active throughout the game. That's for me. He's definitely a standout player.
Right. Yeah.
He was a good player. I think I'm going to go with someone that I watched the Norwich game yesterday. I thought Pookie was outstanding for Norwich.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned in my eyes. Yeah.
He got his 2 goals and he just looks like he's in great form. Big smile on his face.
Yeah.
Confidence is up.
Yeah.
Team of the week?
I say Norwich.
Norwich?
Yeah.
Wickham.
Yeah, for me, it has to be Wickham. Their first ever win in the championship.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be Wickham for me. And the shock of the week?
That Blackburn didn't score.
Yeah, the chances they had. And losing to Coventry, even though you called it a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
Barnsley beating Watford for me, I think.
I think if I was to go with this week, I'd say Millwall losing 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yourself, Jerry, which one?
Barnsley winning one, it was a shock of the week for me.
Yeah,
I'm going to agree with you there. I think Barnsley beat Watford because Watford were in good form.
Yeah.
But definitely Millwall will be up there too because they were in such good form.
Yeah.
So finally, we look ahead. Quick predictions for the midweek games. Brentford Swansea on Tuesday.
Brentford 2-1. Brentford 2-1.
Yeah.
You say 2-2.
Yeah. 2-2. Yeah. And yeah. I'm going to go with Brentford to win this one as well. Probably 3-1. Huddersfield, Bristol City. Spoke about it a little bit.
Huddersfield, yeah. Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield are going to steal this one as well. Maybe 2-0.
Yeah, it's 1-0, yeah.
Norwich, Millwall?
Norwich.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe a 3-1 win for Norwich there.
Same, yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday, Bournemouth?
Do you know what? I'm going to say Sheffield Wednesday 1-0.
Yeah, but you predicted Reading's first loss of the season. Now you're predicting Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Bournemouth, they're going to win 2-0.
2-0 Bournemouth, yeah. I'm going to go with Bournemouth to win 2-0. Phil might have a knack for predicting teams' first defeat for the season, so we'll see. Blackburn, Middlesbrough?
2-2.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a draw here, 1-1. Cardiff, home to Barnsley?
1-1.
Yeah, I think this is going to be 0-0.
2-1 to Barnsley.
2-1 to Barnsley. Keep their good run going for the new guy. Then Wednesday's games, Reading, Preston.
Preston 9-0.
Preston 2-1.
2-1 Preston. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here. I don't know why, really. Watford versus Stoke.
2-1.
2-1 to Watford. Watford 1-2-1.
2-1 to Watford. Now I think this could be 0-0.
It could be.
Birmingham Wickham.
Wickham 2-1.
1-1.
Wickham 1-1. Yeah, I think this could be a draw as well. 1-1. Derby QPR.
QPR 1-0.
Very hard to call that one. But yeah, QPR.
Isn't it?
QPR 1-0.
Yeah, I think it might be 2-1 to Derby. Just because the new owners will be looking on and the pressure will be on. Nottingham Forest, Coventry.
Forest will win 1-0.
1-0 Forest.
Yeah,
I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. And finally, on Wednesday, Rotherham home to Luton Town. Could be a
Rotherham 4-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luton 3-2.
Luton 3-2. I think Rotherham might win this one 3-2 as well. I'm going to go that way. The other way around, rather. So that's it, guys. That's it for this show. We'll probably be back Thursday with the midweek look back, which is a kind of a shorter, scaled-down version where we just kind of go over the results more than anything.
Yeah.
So until then, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.